Well, hello. My name is Jason Brogdon. I'm the science chair and biology instructor here at Founders Classical Academy, public charter school in Lewisville, Texas. And actually, today's podcast will be conducted by Kyle Christman and Charles Bernstein, not just only two students, but two fellows in the Lynx Science Academy, which is basically a fellowship for students of all grades, about 10th through 12th grade, in science and math. So our motto is minima cura, si maxima vis, which means basically pay attention to the small that we can see good things or big things from science and math. The topic of the day is, does the mind control the body? Does the body control the mind? So we have two juniors here at the school. So Charles, take it away.
All right, so I believe that the body controls the mind much more than the mind would control the body. As some evidence, the body releases some hormones that could affect how you think and the ways that you think about things. And there are also physical limits to what the mind can make the body do.
And I will argue that the mind controls the body to a greater extent than the body controlling the mind. And the reason for this is because the mind grants you willpower. And with that willpower, you can do things against the urgings of your body. You can fast, for example, even if your body is hungry. You could go against what your emotions tell you that you know are wrong and responding to the wrong things to do what you think is right.
Well, that might be true, but ultimately, the body has the final say on whether it does something or not. I mean, you could say that you really want to run 10 miles and you could try your best, but no matter how hard you try, if you've never trained a day in your life, then your body just won't be able to handle that.
I think that's true. However, one, you could keep pushing yourself. The body could feel pain in that instance, and maybe your body isn't yet ready to handle those 10 miles. But with the mind and with the willpower, you can build up that strength and you can run those 10 miles.
Yeah, but ultimately the body has the final say. And a lot of what you think is influenced by the body. I mean, cramps or the pain that you feel by running further than you should have run or than you're supposed to run is all caused by the body, and it influences what you choose using your mind.
Right, so pain definitely does have a say on your actions. But there are some individuals who can ignore the pain. I remember a story from my history lesson of a Roman who was sent to assassinate someone who was trying to besiege Rome. He went into the camp and he got captured. The leader of that camp was interrogating him, and this assassin, to show his bravery, put his hand into a fire and let it incinerate his whole hand, and he did that without flinching in order to intimidate the camp leader, and he was successful. In that instance, he used his willpower to get what he wanted, and no animal could have done that. They would have flinched at the pain.
Well, yes, I see that I guess humans have a much higher capacity for reason than other animals, but ultimately there are still things that the mind can't force the body to do. I mean, he could put his hand into the fire and let it burn off, but he couldn't rush through the guards that were protecting the leader of the assaulting army and still succeed in killing his opponent.
Right, so there are still physical limitations. I see that we can make a difference, make a distinction between animals and humans here. Animals, what their capabilities are, and then what ours are. So what do you think are the distinctions?
I think before we talk about this really in depth, we kind of make a distinction between what we would call the mind. I mean, to an extent, animals do have a mind and some form of reason. They can experience things, and based on their bodily experiences, they can choose whether or not to do certain things. Like, for example, Pavlov's dogs, who he trained to, well, he would ring a bell whenever, or before he gave them food. And eventually, whenever he rang the bell, the dogs began to produce saliva in response to that bell. And so that's kind of the body being over the mind. But you can see that they have some kind of, in some ways, knowledge of what's happened in the past.
Yeah, I think animals can definitely be habituated that way. And certainly humans can as well. We have all sorts of habits that we get into that may or may not be of our own voluntary choosing, but we just do it enough of the time that it becomes a habit. It might not be a conscious decision. But I do think that the difference between animals and humans is that humans have more freedom over what they can do because of their rationality. They can override what their body urges them to do.
How much do they have? I mean, there's still the fight or flight response in people, and when different people, when they encounter something that scares them, will either run away from it or decide to fight it. And that's kind of an instinctual response that's very primal and doesn't seem like most of the time people use their reason to combat it.
But still, if something seems logical, maybe your body really does not want to go into danger in the fight or flight situation, maybe you can keep your cool. Maybe you can have courage. You can fight for some higher ideal than an animal could even dream of. You could fight for your nation, and an animal would only fight for their lives or at most their pack.
But then again, we come into the obstacle of the physical limitations. No matter how much you want to do something, sometimes physically you just can't.
Right. Well, I think we've arrived to a conclusion there, that we can choose to do some things for different reasons than animals could, like ideals, but we're still bound by physical limitations and we can still be habituated like animals. So suppose that the body could run itself, and it can to a certain extent, but suppose that we could control all of our body's functions. Would that be a good thing?
Well, I would think no, because I mean, the body and the mind are so closely related. If you remove one, the other, I don't think it would stay the same, and I dare say it wouldn't be quite good to change it.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a definite inconvenience if your mind had to take over all of your body's functions. For example, your heart beats of its own accord. If you had to keep telling yourself that your heart to beat, but it would be really inconvenient, and you would never be able to keep it up. Even when you're sleeping, you couldn't do that. So should the mind control the body, or should the body control the mind? In an ideal circumstance, if we could somehow create an environment, maybe use technology that the mind could control the body, or the body control the mind, which would we choose?
Really, I think that neither extreme would be very good. I mean, if you have the mind completely control the body, then your consciousness would have to take over all the different roles and uses that the subconscious is used for. But if the body takes on all the roles of the mind, then what's the use of the body? Or say that we still have a mind, it just isn't in control of all those bodily functions, then what's the point of having it at all? Or what would be the point of the mind having the body at all? Why wouldn't we just, if possible, download all of our brains to some internet server?
Right. Well, it is certainly our situation now that we have a body, but suppose we could just get access to all the information in the world, do away with our bodies, maybe we don't have any physical form. Would that be preferable?
Well, what would the mind become then? I mean, it wouldn't really be your brain as we kind of think of it nowadays. It would be kind of this non-tangible, completely abstract thing. So what would differentiate, say, my mind from your mind if they were all uploaded onto a server?
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying. To a certain extent, your personality is dictated by your body, your DNA, certain genomes that you have that tell what type of personality you have, and that does affect our mind, what we choose. But still, if we didn't have that body, would we still have our character left, our core principles, our thoughts, and our beliefs? Of course, it would not be dictated by any personality traits, but just this core character.
I don't think we would, because as you said, one of the benefits of being uploaded to the internet, to the Matrix, would be that we have all this access to more information. And if everybody has access to the same information, say all minds are made all-knowing, then what would differentiate us? I mean, I think of myself, and I think that I'm defined by my past experiences, what I know that other people don't know, or what I've experienced experience that other people haven't experienced. But if I have no body and therefore no experience, no physical experiences, and everything I know is the same as what everybody else knows, then I don't think that I would be any different from anybody else.
Yeah, so I agree with that. That the part of our struggle today with our bodies, our own ignorance, that we don't have access to all the information. We have our own personalities. It gives us an individuality and our own purpose. So I agree with you there that if we did have access to all the information, if we were all the same, that would rob us of our humanity in a certain extent. I think that would be the same also if body controlled all of the mind's functions. We would be robbed of our humanity as well. We would be little more than animals. So do you have anything to add?
Not that I can think of. I think that we've both reached a conclusion.
All right. Thank you.
Well, fellas, that's a good start. I think maybe there might be a part two needed. Some follow-up questions that maybe we could chase in the future would be, why the dichotomy between animals and humans? What's the mind versus, you brought up, the consciousness versus the brain, right? So that'd be fun to distinguish. And but very provocative, well done. We thank you for joining us on our Link Science channel. We hope you come back and you get a chance to hear young minds who are classically trained tackle philosophy, science, history, literature, all kinds of good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.